Luke chapter 17. We're going to read verses 26 to 33. And I thought this morning, because it is a long passage, I thought I would read till we get down to verse 30. I'm going to read verses 26, Luke 17, 26 to 29. And then when I get to verse 30, you can read with me, and then I'll read verse 31, and then you can read verse 32 with me, okay? And we'll stop at verse 32. All right, Luke 17 and verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Then read with me verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Then I'll read verse 31. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then read with me verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. And let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we thank you again for your wonderful, perfect word. Please help us. Lord, use this truth. And Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you again for your wonderful salvation. Thank you that it's free, that you paid it all. Please strengthen us this morning and help us as your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. Keep your Bibles opened up. A mother, there's not a word in the entire world aside from the Savior's lovely name, Jesus, that's as precious as the word mother. Mother's often the first word we learn to speak. Normally it's in the phrase of mama. It's normally the easiest word to say, and they say that before they say papa. Mother's always the first name we call when we encounter difficulty as a child, whether it's a skinned knee in need of a Band-Aid to wipe away our tears, or the last word uttered by a wounded, dying, battle-hardened soldier. They said the most repeated cry on the battlefields of the Civil War was, "Mother." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." D.L. Moody said, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." Winston Churchill said, "The greatest teacher in my life was my mother." Billy Sunday said, "All hell cannot tear a boy or girl from a praying mother." And there's an old Spanish proverb that says, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." And I like that. As we look at this passage here, Jesus is teaching us, as we get closer to Him coming, whatever was taking place in the days of Noah before the flood is going to come full circle and will be taking place in our day before Jesus comes. That's why we started with verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And when you look at these traits, verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You could draw a conclusion from this. They were living for pleasure. Does our society live for pleasure now? They call it existentialism, making pleasure my goal. Whatever life's purpose is based on how much pleasure you're experiencing at the time. Is our society wrapped up in that, bent on it? Yes, very much so. People live for themselves, much more so. iPhones, iPads, you know. I mean, it's just everything is engrossed in self. When you look at verse 28, God said here, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did what? Eat. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. I don't know that any of this is necessarily sinful. I think there's a lot more to it in studying it because God didn't destroy the world just because people were marrying. There was more to it than that. And God didn't rain fire out of heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah just because they were building buildings. There's more to it than that, in spite of the homosexuality and all of that. Yet, I can draw a simple conclusion. If you're buying, selling, building, you're living for now, and they did nothing for the future. We're not going to live here forever. Nobody lives here forever. 70 years with the average lifespan of an American, 78. Okay, it's lengthened a little bit. But nobody lives here forever. So they weren't living for eternity. They were living for just what can we get now and what can we build now. Then you look at verse number 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So when Noah went into the ark, judgment came that day when God shut them in and the water erupted from the bottom and came down from the top. But Noah had been preaching for 120 years. You need to get saved. God's going to destroy the world. And it says they laughed and mocked Noah. Ha ha. Until judgment came. What's that mean? Two verses that say there, God destroyed them in the flood and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Two verses that say, oh, the judgment of God. People make fun of it. Oh, God isn't judge. Preachers. No. They were oblivious to the judgment of God. We'll see here later, God sent two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah saying, get out of here. God's going to kill everybody here. Get your family and get out. Nobody listened. They had to be drug out of the city. Oh, the judgment of God. God doesn't judge sin. That's it. And there's an attitude today. People have, you know, it's amazing to me. All the godlessness that's on the news, in our society, as you know, I know I don't mean to hit it all the time, but the fear of COVID, you might die. Okay, I don't want anybody to die, but the same amount people die from the flu as die from COVID. But nobody cares who has the flu. They only care if you got COVID. It's whacked out. It's nutso. How much can you be driven by fear? Here, they're oblivious to the judgment of God. Look at verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Watch, one more thing Jesus pointed out here. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. Don't we have a lot of stuff in America? That's why we have garage sales. We have so much stuff that we can sell our stuff to go to other people's garage sales and buy more stuff. And then we need room to keep our stuff, okay? Because we got a lot of stuff. So I think it's neat that Jesus makes mention of this, and he says, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. I have marked in my Bible materialism. If Walmart makes it, you can buy it. Used to be if you wanted a chair, you made the chair. If you wanted a table, you made the table. You built your house. Now, you buy it and it's all done for you and you don't do anything. If you got the money and you can pay for it, you can have it. It's materialism. Materialism is since World War II, they took all the factories that they used to build munitions and tanks and they turned them into textiles, and now our society is wrapped up in things. And everything's about what you have outwardly. And so, as we look at this passage, Jesus is teaching about prophecy. And then there's one, it's only read one time in your Bible. Verse 32. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Nobody knows her name. Her name's not given. But he says, as we get close to Jesus coming, and people are living for pleasure and living for self, with living for the now and not eternity, and oblivious of the judgment of God, and living in materialism and all that they can own and have, remember Lot's wife. Do not, okay, let me rephrase it. Do not forget Lot's wife. And it's the only time in your Bible that it's found. And isn't it interesting, as we get close to Jesus coming, I thought I could apply this to a Mother's Day sermon. There's good wives and mothers in the Bible. There's Eve, there's Sarah, there's Rebecca, there's Rachel, there's Ruth, Hannah, Abigail, Elizabeth, and Mary. Then there were bad wives and mothers in the Bible. There was Jezebel. Then she had a daughter named Athalia, which killed 72 children so that she could be the queen. Murderous queen. Then you have Lot's wife. Remember this bad mother. And it's almost like, I know everybody's an example of what to be and not to be, but could we look at Lot's wife because Jesus said to, remember her. Whatever she did, think about it and don't do it. She is the mother not to be. So let's look at, because Jesus said, don't forget her, let's think about her just for a little bit. Go to 2 Peter chapter, before we go to Genesis 19, go to 2 Peter and notice what God says about Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 4. I don't think you can look at Lot's wife without looking at Lot, because the home is supposed to be led by the husband. And whatever it is that Lot's wife did, she did because her husband was the way he was. Well, who was Lot? Lot, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Notice the semicolon. There's not a period there. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And notice verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Because God calls Lot just, we know Lot was saved. He wasn't just in our eyes. He was a lousy father. He was a lousy Christian. But God said in his sight he was just. But Lot represents a Christian that is saved but lives for this world and is a castaway and ends up losing everything but his soul. He's saved. He'll be in heaven. We'll get to meet Lot one day if you're saved. But yet, notice the part of verse 7, it says, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to look at it this morning, but a whole city of sodomites and transvestites and pedophiles and homosexuals. He vexed himself. The word vexed is used two times in this passage, and it means troubled, harassed, or kept in a distressed, unquiet state. He was never rested because of what he allowed himself to see all the time. And he never stood against it. He vexed his soul. So, because he lived in a wicked place, look at verse number 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in the filth of Sodom and Gomorrah, and seeing and hearing, here's that word again, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It's interesting, it says from day to day. I think that's because he was prayed for and God was speaking to his heart every day, you shouldn't be living here, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this. And he just kept on saying, I do what I want, and he never moved. Now, he loses his family because of it, but look at verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. We're going to learn who was Lot's wife. She was married to a saved man who was backslidden and lived in the flesh. And it's interesting, we'll learn, Lot makes it out of the city, and God kills Lot's wife because she turned back, because she lived in the flesh. She dies, I think, a horrible death. She's turned into a pillar of salt, and we'll find that out. But God delivered Lot, but killed his wife. And she went to a sinner's hell. As you look at this, that's the foundation. So she's, you know, you don't have a Christian home because people are saved. Lot was saved. I don't know if any of his kids were. But you don't have a Christian home because everybody, although I think it's wonderful if everybody is saved, you have a Christian home because you do Christian activities in the home. But I know people that are saved and they don't have a Christian home. It's not Christian because they're saved. I labor for that. I work for that. But until your activities are changed, salvation doesn't mean that you have a Christian home. And that's the first thing I'd like to drive home here. Now take your Bible and go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19, I'm so glad they're speaking out against the gender modification with kids. I'm so glad it's starting to be spoken out against. How in the world they could destroy children that way, destroy people that way, and to manipulate society in such a way. I'm glad that's being spoken against, but this type of filth has been around a long time. Look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. We're looking at Lot's wife this morning, and you can't look at Lot's wife without looking at Lot. And I like what one preacher said. You know, I think it was Dr. Lester Roloff. He said, I don't think there was a whole lot to Lot. Because he was a loser Christian. He was a failure. But watch this. Verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So God sends two messengers from heaven to Lot. And Lot knows who they are. He knows these are angels. These are spiritual beings. Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night of Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll just stay in the streets. Notice what Lot says. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. No, you can't stay here. No, come inside. That means he knew where he was living was wicked. He didn't wonder. He was like, no. You're from heaven. You're a spiritual being. No. Come in here. This is a horror. If it's so bad, Lot, why don't you move? Because you're a flesh-driven Christian. There's nothing spiritual about Lot, and we'll learn there's less about his wife. There's less. Keep on reading. It says here in verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. So you've got homosexuals, transgenders, and pedophiles. It says young because homosexuals can't reproduce, they can only recruit. That's why I don't want them babysitting my kids. I don't want them around my children. Here it says, that's what they had in Sodom, old and young. All the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. They wanted to be evil. These are homosexuals wanting, do you have men in there? We've never seen them here. Bring them out. And they wanted to be wicked. So Lot goes to the door, and he says, verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. No, you don't want to do that. These guys are from heaven. Oh my goodness, you don't want to do this. Lot, you're messed up. I'll say it again. If it's so bad where you're living, why don't you move? You moved there by choice. You can move out of there by choice. But he's stuck on the world. He's living in the flesh, vexing his soul every day. Verse 6. Behold, now I have, how anybody could say this, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. What kind of a dad says that? That's, to me, it's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Lot is so backslidden. Once again, the Bible calls him saved. Yet he's willing to offer his daughters to sodomites? Say, no. You can have my daughters. What, Lot? I don't think there's a dad I've ever met. You touch my daughter in that way, it'd take all the men in this church to pull me off of you. What kind of a dad would say that? Here, you can have my daughters. Are you kidding me? He's really vexed and backslidden to offer this. You know, one more point here. He thought his daughters didn't know anybody. You read the rest of the chapter, his daughters do wickedly with their dad. Incest takes place at the end of the chapter. Oh, I've got two daughters. They've never known. Yeah, that's what you think, Lot. You raise them in a wicked place. They hear wicked things. It's sexual, filthy talk every day. And you think your kids are innocent? You got another thing coming. Your kids are bent. And they did. And two nations are formed that fight the Jews for the rest of the Bible. Ammonites and the Moabites. Watch this. Keep on going. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Lot's wife is right inside. What kind of a mom hears the husband offering the children and doesn't say, honey, no, we're not going to do this? She never speaks out against wrong. I think that's one of the first things. So here's this lost woman married to a saved man that's backslid, and she never speaks out against wrong. I'll tell you something else. Here's a mom that never taught her daughters. There's things we don't do, and there's things. Every daughter should hear a mom say, nobody should touch you. No boy should touch you. You're holy unto God. You belong to the Lord. Any boy tries to put his hand on your leg or do that, he launch your shoe into his skull. Where else are the kids going to learn that? Every girl needs to be taught, no boy should be touching you. These girls were never taught that. The mother never stepped in, and definitely the dad never stepped in. Wow. Keep on reading. I'm trying to draw some conclusions. It's amazing. Jesus said, do not forget one lady in the Bible. You know, you'd think, okay, because aren't we all thankful I didn't write the Bible? Jesus never said, remember Mary, my mother. What a holy girl she was. Remember Hannah, how she prayed for Samuel, and God finally gave her a child. As we get closer to Jesus coming, the warning is, don't forget. This is God talking, Jesus, how I killed Lot's wife because of the person that she was. She's the example, obviously, of what not to be. So I'm drawing some negative things from her. But watch this. Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house. The angels pulled Lot to them and shut the door. Watch verse 11. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. These angels, I don't know how they did it. They grab Lot, and the men outside are I think, getting angry. Violence always accompanies homosexuality. And the angels pull Lot in, shut the door, and I don't know what it looks like. I want to see that video when we get to heaven, but I wonder if the angels just went, and everybody outside was blind. What? Lot's wife is watching all of this. Okay, just that would be enough to make me go, ooh, God ain't playing, right? God means business here. But all you hear people beating on the house, and all of a sudden the angels go, they give the word, and total blindness. And people, I can't see. People are screaming outside, what's going on? They pull Lot over, sit down. The angels know what's going on. And so does Lot's wife. And everybody that's in his house. Judgment. There's more judgment to come. But judgment just came. Keep on watching. Here we go. Verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. They just struck everybody outside blind, and Lot's wife is hearing saying, you need to get, she is hearing the angels tell Lot, you need to get your whole family out of here. We're going to kill everybody in this city. Somewhere along the lines, you would have thought, how come there was no encouragement? I've always found godly wives encourage their husbands. Honey, let's do what the Lord says. How about this? Instead of nagging, they could say, honey, is this what the Lord wants us to do? A good wife does the opposite of Lot's wife. Honey, they're going to kill everybody. Everybody's going to die because of their filthy sin in this. There's nothing. She's not saying anything. She's just watching, probably disturbed. You're going to hurt my city? Yeah, it doesn't bother you, the filth that takes place? Watch this. Keep on going. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out. Watch this. Verse 14 is so sad. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this place. Watch the last part of the verse. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So he's got two daughters in the house. And somehow, I don't think the other daughters and sons-in-law are living in the house. But somehow he makes it to the house, their place. And he says, you need to follow us. We got angels here. And they made fun of Lot. You know when people make fun of your Christianity? When they know there's nothing to it. When you mock God by how you live as a Christian, the world sees it, and then when you want to get serious with them, you can't. You lost your credibility when you said, I don't care what the Bible says. People mock Christians because Christians mock God. And when the Bible doesn't matter, Lot teaches us. He's trying to... Look, the only reason his family wouldn't listen to him is because they knew his Christianity was a joke. You don't. What? You never read the Bible with us. You never took us to. And now you want us to what? Leave? Because God's going to destroy this place? And they mocked him. What a sad story. Lot's wife watched all of this. You would have thought she's watching the judgment of God. She's watching, she's hearing. There was no Bible right at this point. But she's hearing the words of God. And there's no reinforcement to her husband. I often wondered what would happen if she would have spoken up and along with him. She didn't do that. Look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, so they spend the night, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And the next verse is amazing too. And while he lingered... So here's two angels saying, come on, we got to go. We got to go. And Lot's lingering. The word linger, it means, all my books and all my stuff. And come on, Lot, we got to go. Man, I don't... Judgment is coming. And he lingered. What's that mean to a Christian? When the judgment of God doesn't matter. Oh, I know you guys mean well, but... this is my home. Let me guess, Lot, this is all you have in this world, isn't it? You don't have anything else. You don't have anything eternal. All you have is this. And Lot lingered. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't. No, Lot, come on! The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. Okay, why? Because she was lingering too. You know, Lot, you put your wife and your kids in an environment that's ungodly and doesn't include the Lord. Guess what? Now you're amazed. They really like it here in the filth of this city. The angels had to grab everybody in the house by the hand. No, come on. I don't know if I can. As I picture this, I just think, wow. No, nothing spiritual about Lot's wife. Watch this. The hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, there's the warning, look not behind thee, Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. You know, if you've never seen it on the internet, they have found the pure sulfur that's at Sodom and Gomorrah that burned the whole place to ash. And one person put it on a spoon and lit it, and it started to melt the spoon. Sulfur that God rained down out of heaven, it burns at about, they put it in a furnace to measure how hot it gets. It burns at about 4,500 degrees, and one of the furnaces, it melted. The angels are saying, we're going to rain down fire, sulfur, and brimstone, and you don't need to be anywhere near it because it's going to burn everything it touches. And look what Lot says. Watch this. It says, look not behind thee, neither, okay, lest thou be consumed, verse 18. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Really, Lot? What a joke. Oh, no, oh, no. We don't want to go that far. Here, and he suggests Zoar. The word of God meant nothing to Lot. They're saying, we're going to lay everything flat. And he's still arguing with God. He's still arguing, oh, not so. No, let's not do too much. I've never been an extreme Christian. I'm a moderate Christian. I don't want to be labeled as, you know, a fanatic. So let's not take this Bible thing too far. I don't want to go that far. I just want to go to this little city over here. Is that okay? And you read on in that, and the angel says, okay, you can go to that little city. And then they go to the cave, and then the rest of the chapter takes place. Lot's wife is watching all of this. No encouragement. No encouragement for her husband. Nothing. Nothing spiritual. And then watch. It says here, verse 22, haste thee, escape thither. I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It's the only time God did that. You say, why? It normally takes fire to destroy the filth of the immorality, the disease, and the bacteria and all that, the disgusting lifestyle that they were living. Yeah, God killed them all. And then, watch verse 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So everything's burned up. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So here's the angels pulling her, and she's already been told, don't look back. When we start raining fire down from the sky, don't look back. She's already been told that. But the Word of God isn't important to her. And all that she knows is in that wicked place back there. So as she's leaving, she knows not to look back. It doesn't say what time of the day it was. It just says the moment she looked back. Why would you look back at a place that you were told, one, not to, and two, you know the screams and the smoke that are coming from it? Because that's all that I have. I love that place. God's judging that place. Don't look. God killed her. She went to a sinner's hell. She's been there in hell ever since. One of the largest salt places on the earth is there right around Sodom and Gomorrah. They say that the statue of salt is still there. It's the height of two houses. The salt mine's enough for me, okay? I didn't need the salt mine. I believe the Bible without the salt mine, but it's a big salt place. She couldn't give up the world. Think with me just for a second. All she had to do to get safe was follow her husband. That's all she had to do. Just follow your husband from here to there and don't look back. But she couldn't do that. Let me just take the thought. She couldn't follow her husband. The husband's supposed to be the leader of the home. What gets sad is when the husband makes a mistake, or two or three, and he's going to make mistakes because he's not perfect, and then the wife uses those errors against him for the rest of their marriage, and she says, I can run the home better than you can. I don't know if Lot did that, but he looks like a screwball. He's offering his kids. He's a laughingstock to his family. I don't know what Lot did, but I can't help but think she hadn't followed him up to this point, so why should Miss Lot's wife? All you have to do is follow your husband. I'm not following him. He's made so many mistakes. Girls, when you get married, your husband, the love that, and loyalty that you had to your dad is supposed to transfer to your new husband. And you're going to have to allow him. He's going to have to make mistakes, and he's not as mature as your dad. If you don't allow him to make mistakes, you'll get frustrated. He's going to make a few big ones. You got to let him make the mistakes. She didn't follow her husband. She didn't encourage him spiritually. What else? Jesus said, I want you to remember how I killed Lot's wife. Because as we get closer to the end and Jesus coming, she was doing some things that we'll be tempted to do. Living for things. Living for money. Jesus said, don't forget Lot's wife. Now, I think this is amazing. She heard the word of God and it didn't matter. She heard the warnings. I think a godly mother, let's take the opposite of Lot's wife, a godly mother cares. She teaches her children. She reinforces. Look, everybody knows this. In a home that I would say is, let me just use this. Most people know that the wife and the mother is going to be around the children more than the father if the father's off earning the living. That's fairly understood. So the mother is supposed to reinforce the law the daddy lays in the home. When he says, we do this, we go here, we don't do this, the wife has a wonderful job of saying, that's what your father said. I mean, how many times did my mom say, did your dad tell you not to do that? When your dad gets home, you're getting it. Right? So the moment dad walked in the house, he always did the same thing. Put his briefcase on the piano, walked over to my mom, gave her a big, long kiss. I mean, it was long. I mean, all of that. And then, when mom came out of the kiss, your son. And then the beatings commenced. The mother enforces what the law that the father lays down in the home. There has to be that. She cannot. It takes two. It takes both. And that's why I think, remember Lot's wife, whatever she did, don't do. Take the opposite of the lessons of what not to be. She knew the way of safety and she chose another way. How many people do I know? They know how to get saved. It's simple. You place your faith in Christ. He died for you. He bore all of your sin. It's a free gift. You only have to accept it. It's wonderful. You don't have to go to church to get it. You don't have to get baptized to get it. They'll hear the word of God, but they're... No, I don't want to do that. Why? That's what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says, but they won't listen. And then when they die, they go to hell because they didn't get saved. To me, that's so sad. Because nobody has to die and go to hell. Not when Jesus has paid it all. Not when Jesus has paid it all. I think Lot led his wife to live in the wrong place. And then his wife never spoke up. Let me just go to, what is a mother supposed to teach her children? Go to Proverbs 31. Watch this. There was none of this in Lot's home. I think this is so interesting. You know, all of us have to have heroes. All of us have to have people. Look, Abraham should be your hero. He lived by faith. I would hope the Lord Jesus is one of your heroes. You want to be like him. That's Christian. That's Christianity. I want to be like Jesus. But God gives us role models in the Bible. And notice this. Look at Proverbs 31. For a lady, watch this. Just start at verse 1. Ready? Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. There is nothing in the Bible that demeans women. Nothing. All this feminist talk and this, you know, women's rights and, you know, do you think women ought to get paid what men get paid? No, I don't. I don't think women ought to get paid what men get paid any more than I think all men ought to get paid the same. I think you should get paid according to how you work. And I don't know all men who work the same. And if you're a hard worker, yeah, I think you deserve more. I think you deserve what your employer can give you. Amen? They can only give so much. But do you think a woman ought to earn what a man makes? No, I think she should be paid according to her work. If she can do what a man can do, then okay, great. I know some women are harder worker than men. I know some men that are real slugs. They're slobs. But no, I'm not for equal payment. No, but I don't know anybody that's equal. Everybody's at a different level. I don't know any one man that's equal with another man. Everybody's got different things that God has allowed to be put into your life. But no, I don't think anybody's equal. There's no, God doesn't deal with you that way. Aren't you glad? God deals with you as an individual, and God pays you back by your labor, not our labor. Amen? Watch this. Look at a mother teaches a king, verse 2, what my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my vows. Watch the first thing that a mother teaches her son. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Here's a mother teaching her boy, you be pure. You don't touch a girl till you get married. Lot's wife, I know, didn't do that. She never taught her children one time. She didn't teach her girls, you be pure. Here's a mother teaching her son, don't give your strength to women. Don't be a girl chaser. You pursue the will of God, and God will give you a good wife. You make God first, not women first. You're going to have hormones going crazy in your body as you go through and reach, you know, through adolescence and reach adulthood. But don't live by your feelings and emotions. You live by the will of God. This is a mother teaching her son. Let the heathen live that way. They live for the parties and who's losing their virginity and all this other filth. Don't you get wrapped up in that crowd if you're going to be a good, strong leader. You learn to control yourself. You lead yourself. You would think this is coming from a dad. This is a mother teaching her son. A good mother teaches and helps. I think it takes both. But isn't it interesting in the Bible, a virtuous woman teaches her children about moral purity. I'm so thankful for the people in my life. I remember riding in the tractor with my grandpa. And I'd be sitting there and my grandpa would say, you know, a lot of people getting people pregnant out of wedlock. I'd be there, yes, sir. I remember I was 12 years old. My grandpa would say, I'm not trying to be rude, but he'd say, your zipper stays up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had family members that invested in me. I remember sitting on the kitchen counter when as a teenager, I was 14 years old. And I said, everybody at the public schools talking about sleeping with so-and-so and who are they necking and petting with. And I remember my aunt said, she stopped her cooking and she came over to me and she said, you can be pure if you want to. It's your decision. You can be virgin when you get married. I'm so thankful for my Aunt Becky. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, everybody doesn't have to be doing it. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, one came from my grandmother, my grandpa, but another one came from my aunt. And in the Bible, a mother teaches her son, don't give your strength to women. If you're going to be a leader, you have to learn to lead yourself. You control yourself. Look what the next thing a mother teaches her son. Watch this. Verse number 5. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You know, another basic, this isn't like super like insightful. I know it's just right here in the scripture. But the next thing a mother can teach her son is you stay away from alcohol. Everybody's going to drink. You're always going to get pressure to drink. You stay away from it. If you're going to be a leader, you have to be in control of yourself and your brain. Isn't it wonderful? A virtuous woman, a woman of character, teaches her son how to be a king. You know, it's wonderful when you believe in your children enough and you say, God's going to use you one day if you'll do what he says. But there are things you can do that will stop God's blessing. You want a good marriage? You have to have God's help. You want good kids? You have to have. There's things you cannot do that only God can do. And to get God's blessings, you have to be obedient. I need God's help. I want God's help. I need true riches. I need the things that money can't buy. Money can't buy everything. There's things. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus said, remember what I did to her. And whatever she did, don't do it. I know today's Mother's Day. I took it a little different angle. Could you learn from what somebody didn't do? Because there's so much in the Bible about what we're supposed to do. Amen. A good mother and a good father and a good home. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning. I wish, please, for each home to be helped. And Lord, I know the world doesn't know how to do this.